WXCO 1230 AM, W255 DN Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Russian ballistic missiles and drones have hit the Ukrainian capital Kyiv, killing at least 8 people. The BBC's John Donison is near the rubble.
Ukrainians say, look, before we can have any sort of talk about territorial exchanges, a long-term peace, we've got to have a ceasefire. And that is clearly is not happening.
President Trump says Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky is making it impossible to reach an agreement with Russia to end the war.
I think we have a deal with Russia. We have to get a deal with Zelensky, and I hope that Zelensky, I thought it might be easier to deal with Zelensky. So far, it's been harder.
Zelensky is refusing to agree that Russian-occupied Crimea is Russian, not Ukrainian territory. Criminals operating online had a profitable 2024, says CBS's Jesse Mitchell.
Scammers stole a record $16.6 billion last year. That's according to the FBI's annual Internet Crime Report. Most of those losses were due to fraud.
CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
For WXCO News, I'm Brittany Merlow. Don't worry about transportation to the NFL draft stage. Green Bay Metro has that covered. Lisa Hale reports.
If you're nervous about getting around during the NFL draft, Green Bay Metro Transit Director Patty Kiewit says don't be. The free downtown to Titletown shuttle buses will be running every 15 minutes or so, and you can track them at any time to plan when and how to hop on.
And we actually have real-time data feed right there. If you click and go on to our draft page, you can see the real-time location of these buses. So if you are downtown and you're inside eating at Hagermeister and you're not sure where that bus is, you can pull that right up and see how close it is to you so you know when to get out there.
Earlier this week, Green Bay Metro Transit unveiled its new battery electric bus, which will be one of the buses shuttling football fans from downtown to Titletown during the NFL draft.
And there are a few changes potentially coming to high school sports in Wisconsin. Here's Jimmy Kuska.
This Friday, school administrators around the state will vote on 5 amendments for high school sports at the WIAA's annual meeting in Stevens Point. One measure would allow name, image, and likeness deals for student-athletes. Another would expand summer coaching contact days from the current limit of 5. And one measure would require any spectator ejected from a contest to have to take an online sportsmanship course and serve a 1-game suspension before being allowed back at games. The meeting is Friday at 9 a.m.
And Livability.com says Green Bay and Appleton joined Madison on its Best Places to Live list. Now, the list isn't ranked, but it calls out 100 small to mid-sized cities that are considered for economy, housing, and cost of living. Also amenities, transportation, environment, safety, education, and health. I'm Brittany Merlot for WXCO.
It's draft day in Green Bay. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. From Green Bay, where the NFL draft gets underway tonight, many experts predicting the Packers could use the 23rd pick on Texas wide receiver Matthew Golden, who was spotted shaking hands with Packers GM Brian Gutekunst on the Rich Eisen Show. Has he been here before?
It's definitely my first time meeting with him. I had a meeting with him 2 weeks ago. Got around the coaching staff, you know, the organization. Feel like home to me.
Did you visit here? So this is not your first trip to Green Bay,
as a matter of fact. It's not my first trip.
Who else have you personally visited?
Met with Houston, Pittsburgh, Broncos, Detroit.
Have you personally visited with the Dallas Cowboys?
Yes, sir.
Oh! What was that about?
It was cool, man.
Baseball, the Brewers scoring 2 runs in the 9th, but it wasn't enough. They lost to the Giants 4-2 last night in San Francisco.
It's all part of getting started in a new year. We're all trying to find ourselves, find our own identity.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
It is going to be mostly cloudy today with a few scattered off and on showers this afternoon. Our high right around 60. Tonight, some rain. Our low in the mid-40s. Tomorrow, cloudy with more rain. Quarter inch or more possible with a high tomorrow right around 54. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 46.
reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one. Outstanding. Just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
Here's the deal. We gotta set ourselves up. See, retirement is the long game. We gotta make moves and make them early. Set up goals. Don't worry about a setback. Just save up and stack up to reach them. Let's put ourselves in the right position. Pre-game to greater things.
Start building your retirement plan at thisispretirement.org. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Maggie Dawn.
Tom Pauswitz joins me next in the guest co-host chair. We discuss Pope Francis's passing. What was this Pope's legacy? A progressive or something else?
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO, Wausau's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Joined on this Thursday morning at 7:06, like it will be every Thursday, by meteorologist Brittany Merlot, Chad Holmes from 98.9 WXCO in Madison, Greg Bach at Radio Park. Nice to have you all along on this Thursday morning. Coming up yet this hour, we will be talking to Sarah Godlewski, the Wisconsin Secretary of State, who is going to be making a run for a leadership position in the Wisconsin Democratic Party, part of a whole generational change of leadership happening there with Ben Wickler stepping down. Then in our next hour, we have a guest who wants to talk about Robert Kennedy's offensive comments about autism and people with autism. And we'll also be getting an update from Joe Zepecki on his run for state Democratic Party chair. We had William Garcia on yesterday, one of the other candidates, and Devin Remicker, the other candidate for state party chair, will be on at 8:30 tomorrow morning. Temperatures around the state right now at 7 o'clock, not much different than in our last hour. It is 48 here on Lake Wissota, still 29 in Hayward, 42 in Amory, 47 in Wausau where Chad is, 51 in Rapids, La Crosse 54, Green Bay 52, Madison 55, Milwaukee 58. Before we get to Chad and Wausau about things that are happening there, let's find out from Brittany first, not only the NFL draft weather for tonight in Green Bay, well, what's up with Hayward being at 29?
I know.
Got to get him out of the 20s.
Defend yourself.
Yeah. Come on, Hayward. Lift yourself up, you know?
Seriously. Well, you know what? 70s spread so far north yesterday. I was pretty happy to see them all the way up to the UP and stuff. So they got some warmth yesterday. Mm-hmm. But, of course, they did fall a little cold tonight. We've got a huge spread of temperatures, not only this morning from the upper 20s to the upper 50s, but today, up north, is going to be into those 40s, and we're going to potentially see some low 80s down south today. So a big spread of temperatures across the state. We're also looking at a low-pressure system trying to hurry up and get its way to the draft. Go figure. It's the worst timing possible. Mother Nature's first round pick is to bring some scattered showers and rain to the draft. Now, what we're looking at is as a system moves in, we are looking at some more scattered showers starting to spark up this afternoon. They could be anywhere in the state, but a lot of the heavy, steady rain rolls into the northwestern parts of the state pretty much this evening. It spreads into the northern half for the evening, and then overnight, it's going to start to fill into some of the southern areas and into the Fox Valley. So that rain is going to start into Green Bay and Titletown pretty much tomorrow morning through about noon is when it wants to wind down. And I'm looking at the heaviest rain kind of falling between 7 a.m. and 10 a.m. tomorrow morning. And it's also going to be just a raw, blustery, kind of crummy, dreary day there. We're looking at rain, you know, going on in the morning. Windy conditions all throughout the day, gusts out of the north up to 30 miles per hour, keeping our high temperatures tomorrow to about 50 degrees. So you put wind chills on top of that. People out there towards Lambeau are going to be feeling more like the 40s. So it's going to be cold tomorrow in terms of what we've been used to yesterday, of course. Then we start to warm things up and clear things out by night. Tomorrow night, we'll start to see clearer skies. Tons of sunshine on Saturday, high temperatures at about 60 degrees, and then Sunday, a little bit warmer into the mid-60s with that sunshine hanging on. But it's a wet system. We're looking at a good quarter of an inch widespread of rain and maybe an inch all the way from Minneapolis to the UP.
And so ends any affiliation between Brittany Merlot and the Green Bay Convention and Visitors Bureau. Based on the weather tonight.
According to her shirt, she's a big fan of Ean Bay. I don't know what that Ean is. Bay. Oh, never Move mind. The hair. Green, there we go. Sorry.
Green
okay.
Bay. Yep, she is ready for the conditions here. Chad, how about you? Do you pay much attention on NFL draft night?
Yes and no, but I know a couple of folks that are going over there. In fact, person I'm going to have coming up here in just a few minutes on my segment will be heading over there, going to get a little intel on that, and I got a good friend that's heading over as well. But I'll watch for the for the draft information. But I really was not somebody that has a great interest in heading on over there and standing in the rain and enjoying that. In fact, for many years I haven't. People have tried to say, "Hey, come on over! I got a ticket. We go to see the game." I'd rather stay home.
That's all right. I mean, look, there are only a couple hundred thousand people that want to do differently, and that's okay. Rob says, good morning from Tigerton. It's cloudy, 47 degrees. We got a tenth of an inch of rain. Many farmers were busy doing field work. The grass is greening out nicely. We're about a week or so away from mowing. While I was in the Wittenberg area looking at mowing jobs, there was definitely higher traffic along 29 heading toward Green Bay for the NFL draft festivities. And we were talking about Georgia having its own state song from Ray Charles in our last segment. And Rob says if Wisconsin had an official state song, it would have to be a polka, since Wisconsin has the official state dance with polka. Tony asks on YouTube, yeah, where is Wisconsin's classic song? Georgia has one. West Virginia. Those aren't even cool states. So, again, I guess we have to find... That'll work. Yes. Wipeout. The polka version.
This is totally works. Harry Kosick and the Red River Boys playing Wipeout from Milwaukee. They're from Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
It has to be Roll Out the Barrel. I mean, come on.
All right, yeah. Chad, you know what, Chad? Hey, yep. Chad, just roll with it, all right, would you?
Oh, roll with it. I like
thank you, Steve Winwood.
Yes, exactly. So Chad will continue to be covering some of the stories happening around Wausau, as will Brittany. And we mentioned yesterday that as part of the new show here, some of our stations will cut away a couple times an hour so that they can have some of their local news and stories as well. Chad, I have to think that one of the things you're continuing to talk about would be how Wausau Mayor Doug Diddy, who is being looked at by their local ethics board for moving that absentee ballot drop box, is now wanting to make new appointments to the ethics board, putting some Republican buddies on there, just as they're taking a look at him. And I don't think that's going to fly, right?
No, but it's still a power play. And I think one of the aspects that has to be looked at as well, not just the idea that he has put out these four names to move on to the board. And of course, to be honest with you, two of the names I am not familiar with. I have no idea whether they're left, right, or center. But two of them are well known for many years, I mean, decades in this community, Deb Hadley and Kevin Hermaning, and both very far right in terms of their political leanings. That doesn't mean, I mean, it's not on itself disqualifying, but at the same time, I think the timing of it with another meeting coming up next week in terms of the ethics committee and the process continuing. I've talked to folks around here, and there's a sense that the people that are actually signed their names to the complaint, because it starts with citizens who say, hey, this was not right. Mm-hmm. They're nervous about going forward, that they're, it's much like what we see nationally, that there are people that don't want to put their neck out on the line in order to have this mayor who is not afraid to throw a few elbows and show that he feels as though he's got the power within this community. It's I think beyond anything, it's a bit of a power play.
Do you remember when people were saying, oh, you know, Katie Rosenberg is too progressive. We need somebody that can appeal to everybody, can be more of a, you know, uniter and not a divider. And have we not just taken the divisiveness and ramped it up to a whole new level with the, you know, the partisanship that's been injected into this mayor's office at this point? I mean, it has brought so much attention to Wausau that it frankly doesn't deserve. And now you have these ethics board members whose terms are expiring, at the end of this month, right?
Yeah.
They get to stay on until the city council appoints their successors, whether it's the mayor's, you know, wishes or not. And you'd think Republicans would be good with that, since they were good with Fred Prenn staying on the State Natural Resources Board after his term expired, right?
I found it so ironic that when I started my program, when Civic Media started here in Wausau and I came on the air, one of the first big stories was Fred Prenn, Wausau dentist, gun shop owner at one time as well, refusing to leave. And that was the right thing to do then. Now it's not quite the right thing to do. But, you know, and you're exactly right. I mean, you go back. I mean, it's hard to believe the term for Doug Dinney just began a year ago. It feels like it's been a lot longer than that.
But what a year it's been.
He talked about, you know, Mayor Rosenberg, stay in your lane. That was one of the things that he talked about, stay in your lane. He was just going to be coming to do the job, you know, instead of being out there talking about some of these other issues that they feel like you shouldn't be talking about, because, you know, that's not the way that the mayor should be running the office. And it's become this where they put their finger in everything. And again, it just comes across as he doesn't feel like there's any guardrails. His lane is as wide as it wants to be,
it's
very interesting to see how rhetoric at one point changes once you actually get behind the desk.
It's a do whatever you want. I've noticed an uptick in, continued public activity calling out their members of Congress for essentially just rolling over and letting Donald Trump do whatever he wants. There was a demonstration, I believe, in Wausau yesterday. I saw some photos on Facebook from people basically saying Tom Tiffany is missing in action. There's one tonight in South Milwaukee called Where's Brian Style? And so State Senator Chris Larson and Representative Chris Sinicki will be in South Milwaukee this evening at the City Hall starting at 5:30. Yes, Mr. Bach.
We actually had Sean Fetteplace from Main Street Alliance on yesterday, and they said the 2 days before they had a rally where they invited Derek Van Orden up in the third. It was in La Crosse, and there was over 300 people there. Mark Pocan showed up, talked to the people. Bernie Sanders called into the event, and they were on with him. But Derek Van Orden nowhere to be found.
Really?
Yeah.
He
was too busy yelling at youngsters about the capriciousness of youth.
and yelling at me for eating too much. But you had Nancy Stensel, Marathon County Democratic Party chair, on recently too. And those folks are staying active, and I think they're finding more people who are looking at that story from yesterday, for example, that the FDA has had to lay off so many people, they can't do safety inspections of milk. Safety inspections of milk, Chad.
And again, I mean, and I would encourage folks to check out my blog posting on Representative Tiffany from yesterday, because while yesterday those folks wanted to talk to him, they had their event here in Wausau at Tom Tiffany's Wausau office at the very same time during the day. Later in the day, Tom Tiffany did have time to go over to the Wausau Chamber of Commerce office, which is just down the road here, and answer questions from those who have the political and financial might within this community. Had time to answer their questions, but don't have time to answer the questions of average constituents. And there's another 7th District town hall with an empty chair coming up tonight here in Wausau, where they've invited Tom Tiffany to come and speak and answer questions. But again, he is unavailable.
There are three groups of people that a congressman can or a legislator can decide if they want to see or not. And Congressman Tiffany's chosen two out of three, the ones with connections and cash, if you can, you know, pay for a ticket to go to a county Republican Party dinner, and then constituents. It's connections, cash, and constituents, and we see where folks are falling down on that. In sports, the Brewers lost in San Francisco 4-2. They will wrap up that series this afternoon. 2:10 is when the pregame gets started on stations across the Civic Media Radio Network. Head over to the Civic Media website to learn more. Chad Brittany, thank you so much for the updates from Northern and Central Wisconsin. Appreciate that very much. Still ahead in the program today is what he meant to say. We will be talking to Wisconsin Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski. And in our 8 o'clock hour, we'll talk about Robert Kennedy Jr.'s insane comments on autism and get a visit from Joseph Pecky. From the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota, thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings.
Bull Falls Radio, WXCO. The Todd Allbaugh Show.
David Hogg, Democratic National Committee Vice Chair, says, no, we're going to spend $20 million to take out fellow Democrats who are either too old or not voting progressive enough. And Republicans are doing this as well. They don't want any compromise, zero-sum game. I spent 30 years in politics. The best politics are pragmatic. You get 75% of the loaf and you move on.
Catch the Todd Allbaugh Show at its new time, weekdays 2 to 4, on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself, surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
Ross calling in.
Thanks for your show. I'm just wondering if we're watching or witnessing a legal system that where what we thought was precedent is now going to be sort of cast away.
The reality is the question that you raise about the future and what are the implications when, in fact, the things we understood always to be bedrocks of our community, of our nation, are no longer that.
Amicus, a law review, Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
Snakes, zombies, public speaking, the list of fears is endless. But the real danger is in your hand when you're behind the wheel. Distracted driving is what's really scary, and even deadly. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on wxco.fm/contest-terms. As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
And welcome back. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on 98.9 WXCO. I am Chad Holmes, along with Ian Welsh, as, again, during our new programming block here in the weekday mornings at 722, 752, 822, and 852. We focus here from Wausau at our studios at the corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street in downtown Wausau. Right now, overcast skies, temperature stands at 45 degrees. Coming up here in just a few moments, we'll be joined by Sean Wright, the executive director of Wausau's Grand Theater and the Wausau Performing Arts Foundation, talk about some big news coming as getting set for the 100th anniversary of the Grand Theater. And there's going to be some big, big renovations and changes we'll get into. Plus, we'll talk about what is happening on stage and more a little bit later in the hour as well with Sean Wright. But first of all, good morning to you, Ian Welsh.
Good morning, Chad.
And coming up in the second hour of the program, we'll be talking about this wet weather. What can we expect as the NFL draft gets underway in Green Bay tonight for folks heading on over to the draft? We'll talk to Brittany Merlot about that at 8:22. And then at 8:52, we will have our final segment, talk a little bit of sports and
also have our number for the day quiz. And
that's right.
You are 1 for 3 so far this week, so we will try to get you back on the winning track. Yesterday was a little different. I think
it was a little rushed, but that's okay.
Yeah, a little discombobulated. We're going to settle it in. I'll make sure not to give the answer before it's supposed to be given, so
hey,
we don't get
happen. It's okay.
Yeah, so we don't get off the target in that respect as well. Also,
good.
Real quickly, I want to mention the folks. I was just on with Pat. We were talking a little bit about, and I mentioned that Wisconsin's 7th Congressional District has a People's Town Hall. And if you're interested being part of that for constituents of the 7th Congressional District, it is at 180 East Wausau Avenue here in Wausau tonight from 6 until 8 p.m. Tom Tiffany has an invite, but apparently he is busy. But again, check it out. I'll have more on this as we continue later on this morning as well. But let's move right on ahead and get Sean Wright from the Grand Theater. And very happy to welcome back into studio Sean Wright, Grand Theater, Wausau Performing Arts Foundation Executive Director. And as we switch things around, it's great to still have the voices that we've been able to talk to for such a long time. And again, one of the great sights and one of the great, I would say, gifts to Central Wisconsin, of course, is the Grand Theater. And Sean, great to have you back.
Yeah, it's great to be here.
But you're wearing the NFL draft shirt. Usually I'll talk about the Cardinals, you'll be wearing red, but today it's NFL draft.
NFL draft.
Are you heading over to Green Bay?
Heading over for rounds 2 and 3. And
smart. I always knew you were a smart man.
You know, that's my wife. She might fight that, but you know, yeah. Avoid the first night craziness and
what are you expecting?
You know, I really don't even know what to expect.
This is
honestly
so different, isn't
I mean,
it?
It's so different. I mean, I think it was kind of put in perspective. I was listening to Rob Demosky, the Packers writer for ESPN, who said, you know, you got to realize this is the NFL's second biggest event behind the Super Bowl, and the idea that a Super Bowl would ever come to Green Bay is just, you know, it's never going to happen. way it could happen. You go, wow, how is this going to, you know, to work? And I think the thing that I'm fascinated to see is not just the draft campus itself, so that they're say, but like everything around. I mean, it right. seems like every organization, every business, everything in Green Bay has created something around this draft, and you know it's going to be kind of fascinating to see.
And I think for someone like you, it's always interesting to see events because you are a man that your whole life is events.
Yes. I will say that I will have a little bit more interest in the logistics of things than perhaps the average fan will.
I saw a note, and as we turn to the Grand Theater and you talk about, you know, big events and a big celebration and a big, I think, one of those anniversaries that people have to talk about. I don't know, are we ready to start talking a little bit
sure.
more about the 100th anniversary? Because I did see that we're going to start that road, aren't we?
Absolutely. Tuesday night, we have an exciting announcement about the future of the Grand and our second century and what our plans are to enhance and continue to honor the future, honor the past of the Grand, and embrace the future of the Grand with our second century capital campaign. We've had amazing support to this point, and we're excited on Tuesday night to have an open house at the Grand. Folks can free to attend. People can just come in and enjoy. The open house starts at 5, the program at 6, where we'll make our announcement, and then people have the opportunity to essentially tour throughout the entire building.
Wow.
And see at each of these, as we're calling them, renovation stations, what mm-hmm. our plans are for the various areas of the Grand, from the, you know, the South Lobby to the Great Hall to the theater itself to the backstage. And so we're, this has been 2.5 years in the making on our staff's end. And
I was going
to
ask you about that because obviously, you know, when you make the announcement, but I know how much goes into these discussions. And because when you get to this point, you want to make sure all the I's are dotted, the T's are crossed. How difficult was it? How much of a fine-tooth comb did you have to go through this nearly 100-year-old venue to figure out, hey, we want to make sure that everything that we need is part of this? Because, you know, frankly, you don't want to go back and say, I missed something.
Yeah, it's not how much have we and how much are we still. Oh. I mean, I think that's the process. A perfect example of that was, it was past Friday night, we had a sold-out show at Trampled by Turtles, and of course, the entire downtown had a power outage about 45 minutes before we were supposed to open doors. And fortunately, our friends at WPS got the power back on. We were able to have the show and do that. But it did make us identify a few things that we've added since the last time we enhanced our emergency backup capabilities of, that's not connected to anything. Mm-hmm. We'd like to have those digital displays that we have connected to emergency backup. You know what? Well, I had a call with our architects yesterday, just our weekly check-in call, and we brought up, hey, could we add that to the scope of work? And so it's an ongoing process. But yes, I mean, really, we've been very deliberate through this process, working with DLR, who's the architect out of Cleveland, who did the original Arts Block project, and Myron, who's our general contractor, who also did the Arts Block project. All of us sort of working in concert to, make sure that we have, all the things we need, I guess is the best way to put it. All the things we need at a, and there are obviously budgets and costs and things like that. But it's been a journey, but we're excited.
This is Bull Falls Radio, WXCO. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For WXCO News, I'm Brittany Merlot. Democrats are introducing a bill that would codify abortion rights in Wisconsin. Savannah Tomei-Olson has the details.
The Abortion Rights Restoration Act would repeal the state's 1849 abortion ban and eliminate required ultrasounds and a 24-hour waiting period. Other states like Minnesota and Colorado have gotten their own old abortion laws off the books after the Dobbs decision, which repealed Roe v. Wade at the federal level. Tanya Atkinson, CEO of Planned Parenthood Wisconsin.
This bill is about protecting a person's ability to decide for herself what kind of reproductive health care is needed. This bill is about protecting healthcare professionals from criminal punishments.
Dr. Ashlyn Brown says the bill would also get rid of the information healthcare providers are required to give to patients that's dictated by lawmakers and isn't backed up by evidence.
Restrictions forcing physicians like me to read a script riddled with medically inaccurate information, scare tactics, and frankly biased language about the abortion care that they need is not evidence-based medicine. There is no other type of healthcare where patients are questioned extensively, given biased information, and forced to wait when they know what is right for them.
In a Republican-controlled legislature, the measure is unlikely to pass. Senator Kelda Royce.
20 years ago, we had Republicans that were pro-choice. It would be, I think, better if more Republican politicians actually reflected the Republican electorate, which has plenty of pro-choice Republicans.
Legislative Republicans didn't immediately offer a response to the bill. The Wisconsin Supreme Court is currently considering the state's 1849 abortion ban. For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei-Olson.
And April is Stress Awareness Month, so be sure to schedule some activities that promote relaxation and reach out to people who bring you some support and assistance. I'm Brittany Merlot for WXCO.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. There's lots of Star Wars news lately. Here's the latest. Andor makes its return for season 2. The show returns almost 2 years after the finale of season 1. Diego Luna plays Cassian Andor, just like he did in Rogue One. The show is crushing on Rotten Tomatoes at 98%. Season 2 will have 12 episodes. The first 3 episodes dropped Tuesday, April 22nd. Disney Plus will release 3 episodes every week on Tuesdays, totaling a 4-week run. Disney Plus says this will be the final season of the popular show. In more Season 2 news, Nathan Felder is back for Season 2 of The Rehearsal. The hilariously awkward creator of the show is also the leading man as he tries to help people get better at living their own lives by rehearsing them. Things usually go very wrong, and therein lies the hilarity. Season 2 will have 6 episodes, just like the first season. The HBO show drops every Sunday night following The Righteous Gemstones. Happy Weird Sunday Night on Max, everyone. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
It is going to be mostly cloudy today with a few scattered off and on showers this afternoon. Our high right around 60. Tonight, some rain. Our low in the mid-40s. Tomorrow, cloudy with more rain. Quarter inch or more possible with a high tomorrow right around 54. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 46.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Mike Starr joins us here on Nightlight.
Your timing, good fellas, Mike. What you just said was an ad-lib to De Niro. He's like, security, and you're just like, you're looking at him.
Well, that whole scene was improvised. And Paul Hip, he said, make sure you don't call it ad-libbing. It's improvisation. It was quite a process that Martin Scorsese put us through over a few days that it would come out like that. It wasn't just like, hey, how you doing?
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Carmelo Anthony for The Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, you're innocent until proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presumed innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why The Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting the in-cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Maggie Dawn.
Tom Paulsiewicz joins me next in the guest co-host chair. We discuss Pope Francis's passing. What was this Pope's legacy? A progressive or something else?
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
This late ad from Robin Tigerton could be because we played a polka version of Wipeout earlier, and he reminds us Wipeout was the theme song for the old Dan Devine show back in the early 1970s when he was the coach of the Green Bay Packers. I appreciate that little musical interlude there from you, Rob, and from Roger and Stevens Point on Facebook. From my Facebook memories, 5 years ago today, Harold Reed, the bass singer and comedian from the multi-award-winning group the Statler Brothers, passed away. I was fortunate to see them on stage when I was in high school. Thank you, Roger, for passing that along. And again, as always, you can share your notes with us. Just head over to Facebook or YouTube, put something in the comment section there. We may see it and put it up on screen, or you can text the show as well through the Civic Media app or through this phone number, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Did you know there is a new weekend edition of the newsletters we put out here at Up North News? Not just the Monday through Friday one that Christina Laurie puts together, but now one that you can get on Sunday mornings that comes from me. It is a week in review of Wisconsin political stories. So head over to upnorthnewswi.com to learn more. I sense that one of these weekends' stories about Wisconsin politics might involve our next guest, Sarah Godlewski, Wisconsin's Secretary of State, who joins us now. And we're going to talk a bit about the changes in the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, the state convention that's coming up, and you know what kind of role she wants to play in the next generation of leadership. Madam Secretary, good morning. How are you?
Well, good morning, Pat. It is great to be with you today.
Yes. We've talked about the Secretary of State duties, obviously your role as state treasurer prior to that. We now know that Ben Wickler is stepping down as state Democratic Party chair. Yesterday, you made public an announcement of what you might like to do once Democrats gather in Wisconsin Dells coming up in just under 2 months to talk about where leadership goes from here. What is it that you hope to do in the next chapter of Democratic Party leadership?
Well, I announced yesterday that I plan to, I announced running for vice chair of the party here in Wisconsin. And the thing to note about this, Pat, is that I can stay as Secretary of State. Historically, the first vice chair has been an elected official. And it's not something that I thought that I would do, but the last month, I've been traveling the state between listening sessions for the governor's budget to empty town halls that we've been doing where congressional members haven't been showing up. And to me, it's really clear that we need to meet people where they are and listen and communicate our message better. And so I think in this role, this is something that as vice chair of the party, I can work with communities, work with our elected officials to help do that in this era of Trump, who is just destroying this country, and we've got to fight back.
The other thing to keep in mind about the vice chair role is that The chair of the party is, again, not some kind of a king or queen. There's an executive committee, essentially, that works with the party. The vice chair is part of it. I was part of it briefly as chair of the County Chairs Association, representing all of the county parties. And so can you tell folks a bit more about it, the collaborative process that's involved? Yes, we put a lot of stock in who is the state chair of the Democratic or Republican Party, but you know, to borrow a phrase, it takes a village.
Well said. And that's what I think is so great about our party structure, is that we have 72 counties, and collectively, Democrats can come and be members to go to convention that will be in June, and they then vote for the chair, the vice chair, the secretary, or the second vice chair, the secretary, and the treasurer. And so you have a say and a voice in this process. So I, you know, when I look at it, I just think there's a lot of opportunities where we can be working together. And I'm really, really excited to be doing more of that.
Yeah. And again, it's one of these things that's voted on by delegates who come from county parties, you know, across Wisconsin, and yes, other members of it who will be gathering at that point. And it is, as the candidates for chair have talked about, there's kind of this mixed bag here for Democrats right now. Obviously, folks are riding high after the election of Justice-elect Crawford to the state Supreme Court. But it's also a state that went narrowly for Donald Trump in two out of the past three elections, and did not have any turnover in the congressional delegation. So clearly there's work to be done. We've shown in April, you know, what progressive messaging can do. Everybody is trying to have some kind of a prescription for the Democratic Party. In fact, next week, we're going to talk again to Green Bay Mayor Eric Genrich, who put together an essay on where he thinks the Democratic Party needs to go from here. So I just wanted to give you a chance to riff a bit on that subject of, in light of both the Trump victory and the Crawford victory, where you think Wisconsin Democrats overall need to go, where the Democratic Party needs to go in this state.
Well, I think for starters, the Democratic Party has to be everywhere. We've got to show up in communities across our state and talk about, when we govern, what that looks like. Because right now, people are living in this constant fear of chaos. I mean, whether it's the farmer that I was talking to in Western Wisconsin, where he is constantly concerned about these tariffs. He just lost his funding for farm equipment that he was relying on, and he's not sure how he's going to make his mortgage. To veterans that I was talking to in Northeastern Wisconsin, who have seen thousands of veteran employees who support the services that they receive after serving this country. To, you know, Wisconsinites who are working hard every single day, and they're seeing a billionaire who is manipulating what democracy looks like in our country and in our state. And so I think when we show up and listen to folks, we have real opportunities to be providing our messages. I mean, look, like, I was talking to a group of school teachers recently who were sharing their concerns about how the Trump administration is cutting the Department of Education. Wisconsin has been founded on public education. It's something that we're incredibly proud of. And now we're going to be losing critical funding, like for Head Start and programs that are helping some of our most vulnerable. And we need to let them know why. I mean, this is because of Donald Trump or the Republicans in our state legislature, and we deserve better.
From the Facebook page from Ardith here, so glad to see Sarah Godlewski running for a position again. I think she's an organized candidate who can help put this state together again. Good luck, Sarah, writes Ardith. And now, thanks, you know, Ardith, from being a Chippewa Valley native, that one of the best games to play is bash the Madison Party. Because obviously the folks in the Chippewa Valley, folks up north, northeast Wisconsin, everybody wants to have a voice. William Garcia talked about it yesterday in his interview, making sure that the state party listens to everybody and isn't just trying to squeeze a few extra votes out of the Madison-Milwaukee area. And I think that's going to be a perpetual topic. There's always a way you could do a little bit more in greater Wisconsin. You've certainly seen that from the Chippewa Valley. So as a vice chair, what perspective would you bring to make sure that the folks in Madison always have a border-to-border view of the tasks ahead of them?
Well, I think part of that goes to, you know, I am a proud fifth-generation Western Wisconsinite, whether my, you know, my parents are retired public school teachers, to the, you know, growing up there, I feel like that perspective matters. But it's also about, while I might be here in Madison today, I'm always constantly on the road, Pat. Like, I'm on the road all the time, whether it's in Cross Plains or in the Chippewa Valley or in the Fox Valley to being in Ashland and Superior, listening to folks and showing up. Because I think for so long, people think that, you know, what happens in Madison is just stays in Madison. And what we've got to do is make sure that we are the party of the entire state. Because I will tell you, what affects people in the Chippewa Valley and in the Fox Valley are also affecting people in Dane County. And whether that is, for example, access to Medicare and Medicaid, to their public schools, to we know, like, childcare. I mean, that's affecting rural communities just as it's affecting urban communities. And parents need places for their kids to go. They want quality, affordable care. And so I think that there is a lot more that unites us than divides us. And what we need to be able to do is, I mean, the Trump administration is already dividing us, and we need to make sure that we are really emphasizing that time and time again, as we are seeing, you know, the chaos that is really hurting our communities.
Yes, and we'll have more to say about Medicaid expansion, not just overall, but extending care to postpartum care to women from 60 days to 12 months after delivery. Again, it passed overwhelmingly in the state Senate. Robin Voss is still going to hold it up in the assembly. Maybe there's a way around it. We're going to talk about that in just a little bit. Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski running for vice chair at the Democratic Party of Wisconsin at their state convention coming up in June. Sarah, always great to talk to you. Thank you so much for the update. Safe travels to you.
Thanks for having me, Pat.
All right. Have a great day. So about that Medicaid expansion, I learned something while doing a little reading around, because we keep talking about how it's Wisconsin and Arkansas are the only two states that have not yet accepted the federal funds that would extend postpartum coverage to new moms to 12 months. And some folks were saying, well, Arkansas is about to pass it. Well, it turns out the bill to do that passed overwhelmingly in the Arkansas House of Representatives, but it came up for a vote in a Senate committee about 2 weeks ago, and it was rejected in there. So Arkansas and Wisconsin are both actually in pretty much the same boat here, where one chamber of their legislature has approved it overwhelmingly, said this is a slam dunk. What are we even talking about here? And somebody or some people in the other chamber still taking the extremist view that new moms do not deserve stable and affordable health care coverage for that critical time, which goes well beyond 60 days after giving birth. So for the moment, it looks like Wisconsin and Arkansas will not have that postpartum expansion. But there is still time to reach out to your state assembly rep and or to Speaker Voss directly and to urge them to make this happen. But I was also very intrigued by something that I heard from at least one Democratic legislator yesterday, who said there's also going to be this push on Republicans, because so many Republicans are co-sponsors of this Medicaid postpartum expansion bill, is to say, forget about it in the bill, put it into the state budget. If it's in the state budget bill, Robin Voss can't stop it. Robin Voss can stop a single bill from coming up for a vote. He controls the calendar of when the state assembly will vote on things, but a state budget bill has to pass. And all the Republicans on the Joint Finance Committee are in favor of this postpartum extension for new moms. So if they would simply decide in the Joint Finance Committee to put it in the state budget bill, Robin Voss can't strip it out. Coming up in our next hour, we are going to have a discussion about autism. We've got a guest who took, shall we say, great offense at what Robert Kennedy Jr. had to say about people with autism. And we're also going to talk to Joe Zepecki, who is running for state party chair and who joins us on Thursdays to talk a bit more about some of the headlines in Wisconsin politics. We continue to talk about the news every morning here up north live on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your Republican Senator Corey Tomchak wants to unconstitutionally raise your utility bills after President Trump promised Wisconsin ratepayers he would cut energy bills in half. Trump's DOJ has already weighed in on ROFR legislation in other states and called out the significant harm it would cause consumers if passed. Call Senator Corey Tomchak at 608-266-2502 and tell him to stand with President Trump and the Constitution by voting no on ROFR, paid for by Electricity Transmission Competition Coalition.
Join Lou Rugani for the Music of the Stars every Sunday morning from 7 a.m. until noon. Lou brings back the nostalgia from the golden age of radio with the music, drama, and comedy shows that made radio magic. Music of the Stars is sponsored by Lakeland Care, providing personalized support that aims to improve quality of life and maintain independence for elders and those with disabilities. It's the Music of the Stars, Sunday at 7 on 98.9 FM and 1230 AM, Bull Falls Radio.
ZipRecruiter is the place. ZipRecruiter is the place for talented teachers, savvy software developers, and master mixologists. ZipRecruiter is the place where you meet all these people and more. That's because ZipRecruiter is the place for job seekers who are looking for new opportunities. In fact, ZipRecruiter helps 10 million people with their job search every day, so you can find the right candidates right away. It's no wonder that ZipRecruiter is the place for skilled skydiving instructors, accomplished airbrush artists, and proficient pediatricians. But if you're not using ZipRecruiter to hire, you're missing out. ZipRecruiter is the place that's so confident it can make your hiring easier that it lets you try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. So if you want the right candidates for all your roles, ZipRecruiter is the place to go. Try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free. Never miss out on great candidates with ZipRecruiter.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Trump administration wants big changes to the Endangered Species Act. The law has long been interpreted as including protections for habitat on the premise that destroying a species' food and shelter harms the species itself. But now the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and National Marine Fisheries Service said in a proposed rule that degrading or destroying habitat should not be considered harm. Habitat loss is the single biggest driver of wildlife extinction. State officials say someone illegally shot and killed a bull elk near the city of Black River Falls. The animal was one of the primary breeding bulls in an effort to reestablish populations of elk in central Wisconsin. It was wearing a GPS radio collar and there were trail cameras nearby, but the DNR says it still needs the public's help to find the shooter. Knowledge is power. For a deep dive into environmental issues in Wisconsin, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
And welcome back. Chad Holmes with you here on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow from our Wausau studios at the corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street in downtown Wausau. Overcast guys, 45 degrees is the temperature. The time is 7:53. Today, mostly cloudy, a chance of showers mainly after 4 p.m. and a high of 62. Well, more on the weather when we're joined by meteorologist Brittany Merlot at 8:22 this morning. And then, of course, at the end of the program, we will have our number for the day quiz with Ian in the final segment at about 8:56. We got cut off just at the end of our first segment. Again, we are doing things differently starting yesterday. Still getting used to the new time and the new clock. So apologize that our first part of our discussion with Sean Wright, the executive director of the Grand Theater in Wausau, talking about the expansion and the big 100th anniversary coming up. But we have more with Sean Wright as we turn our attention more along the lines of what's going on right now at the Grand Theater. But let's get back on stage and what's going on now here before the 100th anniversary. Obviously, we're now towards the end of April, which is insanity when you think about how fast this season has been going on. Yeah. But it doesn't really slow down for you, does it?
No, it doesn't. May is a very busy month for us. And we've got we've sort of opened up the month with a full weekend. Marty Stewart, a week from Friday, of course, the country music legend. And then Saturday, we have Invincible, the Michael Jackson tribute show. The 7 o'clock show is sold out, so we added a matinee show at 3 in the afternoon. Give people the opportunity who missed it. And then Ben Folds on Sunday. So, yeah, it's quite the weekend. And then our Jerry Ensemble has their annual cabaret on that Monday. So it is a... It's quite a busy stretch at the Grand we're going to get through the 100th event that we've worked for months in planning, mm-hmm. and then turn right back around and put on our presenting show hat, and that's just what we do.
But it must be just a thrill, but it feels good when you have shows where it's like, doggone, we got to add a show.
No, it's really nice to be able to look at it and say, to add a second show. And, Marty Stewart's just about sold out. Ben Folds, of course, a rescheduled date from the fall, sold really well. So, yeah, it's really exciting.
If I'm not mistaken, Ben is, you've tossed the paper airplanes.
It's the paper airplanes. You got to, work on your paper airplane flying skills if you want Ben to play your song, and as he points out, also write the name of the song on the paper airplane. Yeah, he said that's the most common thing to happen, is somebody will throw one beautifully, land it right on the piano.
Nothing there.
And he'll say, okay, I'll play your song.
Invisible Ink.
Yeah, there's nothing there.
And I before we wrap it up, when you mentioned the Jerry Ensemble, and again, one of the funnest things I do here is when I get a chance to talk to the kids, whether it's theater kids or sporting kids or whatever it is. Man, I love the fact, again, what you guys do in terms of being part of the community, not just bringing in the touring shows, bringing in the national acts, but also putting your arms around the talent here in Central Wisconsin.
Yeah, our Jerry Ensemble is truly one of our greatest joys. I mean, that's 26 area high school students, and, it's amazing. When we started the ensemble, we were the second one in the state to start it after the Overture Center in Madison. And the first year we had 14 in the ensemble, and I think we had like 10 audition. The other four we had to call the musical theater programs. Hey, do you happen to have a male who can sing in this range? Do you happen to have a female? This year we have 26 members from literally across the region, and we had 49 who auditioned. And honestly, we could almost had two ensembles, and so we have the largest in the state. And the great thing about the cabaret is it gives all of those students an opportunity to perform, but it's a special showcase on our graduating seniors, and so they get the opportunity to identify a solo or a duet work that they want to do with somebody. And it's a really, really fun program. And the big thing this year is, in the past we'd done it cabaret style on stage, similar to our 10x10, but it's just, the demand was too great. We would sell out and put more chairs. So this time they've graduated to the main stage.
Fantastic.
Of the Grand. And so, people should come out. Tickets are $15 for a night of fantastic entertainment with talented students.
It is. And I guess the final thing I'm going to say is earlier in the week, I was heading out. Again, one of the great things to see. The buses.
Yes.
I love the buses.
Yes. Step Africa put on a fantastic school show and a truly great evening show as well.
Oh,
but there's nothing better than the buses. The only thing better in the buses is walking into the theater right as that show is about to start, and you've got 1,180 students.
You feel that energy, right?
You feel that energy in the building.
Fantastic.
And the artist definitely feels it as well.
We didn't talk a whole lot about a lot of these shows, but again, you can go to Grand Theater. Yep. org.
Yes.
And again,
ER. Yes.
And you can check out your Facebook page and social media. Stop by. And again, get those tickets, because I mean, the shows just keep on coming and they're so fantastic.
That they do. We keep announcing shows, and eventually very soon we'll have an entire season of shows to announce. But that's just the way our world goes.
Enjoy the draft.
Yeah, you as well.
Enjoy the announcement Tuesday.
Yes, we'll
catch you in a couple weeks.
Sounds good.
That's Sean Wright, Executive Director of the Grand Theater, Wausau Performing Arts Foundation, joins us. us every other week here on 98.9 WXCO. And also, don't forget, again, the Grand Theater is opening its doors to the public on Tuesday. It is the launch of the ambitious Second Century Campaign, a transformative $17 million initiative to revitalize the Grand Theater for its next 100 years. So again, it's Tuesday, next Tuesday, April 29th from 5 until 7:30 p.m. And as Sean said, be able to take a look around the Grand Theater, even go back behind the scenes as well. So again, be part of that coming up next Tuesday. And had a chance to talk to Sean yesterday. As again, our new time changes, we always have him on live, but could not fit the schedule. But we will still have Sean every other week here on the program.
Yes, we will.
Coming up, almost 8 o'clock, we have another hour to go. We'll be sending it back to Pat Kreitlow for more from Mornings with Pat Kreitlow in just a few minutes after an information update. We'll be back here at 8:22 talking to Brittany Merlot about the forecast as we get towards the weekend. And we'll also let you know in that next segment about what the topic will be for today's number for the day quiz.
That's right.
And we'll see if Ian can get it right at the end of the program.
Oh, I certainly hope so.
Great to be with you here on this Thursday morning. The time is 7:59. It's Mornings with Pat Kreitlow and Chad Holmes here on 98.9 WXCO.
CBS News Brief. Russia launched an hours-long barrage of drones and ballistic missiles at the Ukrainian capital overnight. At least 8 people were killed in the deadliest attack on Kyiv since last July. The BBC's John Donison reported as a nearby building was collapsing.
All the buildings here have had their windows blown out, the balconies ripped apart, and just to the other side, a whole apartment block has been completely flattened.
12 states are suing the Trump administration, claiming the president's tariffs are illegal. Arizona Attorney General Chris Mays.
The tariffs are illegal. And if allowed to stand, they will drastically increase prices.
A wildfire in southern New Jersey is expected to grow until rain falls in a few days. Forest fire warden Trevor Rayner.
Even with a big show of force to contain this fire, it's